Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go.
You're listening to the Crosscutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I am recording this podcast on July 6, 2017. My guest today is a cybersecurity expert with CBI and prolific video blogger, Wolfgang Gorlick. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for being on the show and discussing encryption with me a little bit. As a developer, encryption is a topic that makes me a little squeamish. It seems like it's a difficult thing that I want to leave to someone else to do. What do you think of that sentiment?
Yeah, it's the challenge with encryption, right, is it's written by mathematicians, and it's often described for mathematicians. And for developers who just want to get something done, having to figure out, you know, what bit is what and where you need a salt and everything else, it can very quickly and very rapidly become overwhelming.
So you work at a cybersecurity company, maybe you could describe it as a consultancy?
Yeah, we are a full-service consultancy.
Do companies typically first engage with you before or after they've been attacked?
Hopefully before. that would be by far the preference. You know, we've got different practices, and my practice tends to be the proactive practice. We do have an incident response team. When the fire alarm goes off, they're the people you want to call and rescue you guys. But in terms of creating applications or deploying encryption, I think it's really important to do it as part of a project, as part of an initiative, and definitely engage early. That's the stage where you're making decisions, you're defining the strategy, defining the architecture. That's the stage where, done right, things like encryption, security controls can be implemented with the most effect, but the least amount of effort.
Unfortunately, a lot of times developers and product managers are not as concerned with encryption as they are getting a set of features out. What do you think is the most common, or what do you see as the most common encryption-related attack?
The most common types of attacks we see have to do with passwords and have to do with data. You know, if you think about the attacker, most attackers are like any other criminal. They're trying to steal something that's of value that they can resell and make money on the market. And what's of value? Credit cards, health information, personally identifiable information, and of course the credentials, the passwords and usernames that allow you to get at that data. So you think about the mega breaches we've heard in the news. Usually it's because of encryption not being applied to credentials or encryption not being applied to health information that a criminal is able to get in and steal and then leak out there onto the web.
So what kind of attacks are there around encryption then? I mean, those are the types of data that should be encrypted, but is there a specific type of attack that could be avoided?
If you take passwords as a perfect example, the types of attacks we often see are passwords are taken from a database using SQL injection. They're run through a password cracker. The encryption being used is at a very basic level or is using older formats. And therefore, the passwords are very easy to crack. So we see that very frequently, SQL injection, password cracking, breach. The other thing we see in terms of credentials is another area that's oftentimes best left to someone else, OAuth. Organizations try to implement, you know, session tokens or encrypted identifiers that allow you to identify from one site or one app to another. And we see those getting broken. So tokens being reused, sessions being hijacked, those sort of things.
So what type of encryption do you recommend that developers use? And more generally, I guess, what type of use cases correspond to those types of encryption?
So the types of use cases tend to be driven by where the information is going to be available in clear text. So if you're sharing information across a network, right, you're going to want to look at the network level encryption. Web apps, that's usually TLS or HTTPS. a file transfer, that's going to be something like SFTP. So that's going to handle your transmission of data. If you're looking at the data element itself, so you think about something like the point of sale breaches where a criminal gets on a point of sale terminal and dumps out all the memory and starts combing through it for credit cards. If you're looking at the data element within the application or within the computer, you're going to want to use encrypted identifiers within your language of choice. So for example, .NET, that'd be something like secure string, where the value is now encrypted in memory. There's other technologies that allow you to encrypt in memory, encrypt within the application stack. That is under the auspices of format preserving encryption generally, which will still look like a credit card, but will be pseudifiably encrypted, or still look like a social security number will be encrypted. And there's a stack of third-party APIs that you can leverage, anything from PKWare to Gemalto to Voltage for those areas. The idea there is protecting the application itself from being attacked. Now on the database side, right? So you got your application, it does its stuff. Now it sends the data back to a backend database where something's going to be stored or processed. On the database side, you're going to want to look at the encrypted values within the database or the crypting options within the database you're running. So for example, that could be column level encryption, that could be table level encryption. Many databases today allow for transparent encryption, so you just shoot the data at the database, it does the things behind the scenes. Or again, for organizations who are encrypting within that application, some just store that encrypted value right in the database and don't even bother decrypting it. So that will protect you in the database side, the application side, the network side, and the last thing to think about is on the disk. So these are where you're looking at full disk encryption from your operating system vendor, or if you're in the cloud, from your hypervisor. Amazon offers one, Azure offers one, right? These hypervisors will give you an encrypted disk. And the benefit there is, should a criminal steal your laptop and it's got disk encryption, you're protected. Should a criminal steal or get access to your cloud and take one of those virtual disks and try and mount it up somewhere else, it's encrypted. So you're at the disk level protecting against a bad guy trying to do something with that storage element.
I was recently trying out an scrypt.NET library, and I was doing the proper salting and hashing. This is really the first time that I've done the whole thing myself from scratch. It really didn't seem that difficult, which is good. But what I'm getting at here is, once I've shipped my software that uses encryption that I've done correctly, hopefully, how do I sleep at night? How do I know that I did it correctly? Further, it seems that whenever I settle on a one-way hash in my career, that it gets broken really soon. So MD5, SHA1, and so on. So how do I make sure that I can sleep at night and I can stay up with the times and all those things as a developer?
First, you're doing the absolute right thing by leveraging a .NET library, right? What my big advice is twofold. One, always leverage the libraries available to you in your platform. That way you're using the collective brain power of the framework. And the second is to use the encryption at the highest level available within that library. So I'll give you a good example of something that just got broke. The news just was released that RSA 1024 is now defunct. It's now broken. And, you know, lots of people are like, oh, no, we gotta go patch our apps. We got to go change things. But everyone who had adopted the standard library had moved to 2048 or above a long time ago, right? They had taken a standard library, adopted the highest level encryption, and therefore when these things get broke, you have a level of protection, some time to get in and make some changes. But I think what you touch on is something else a little bit deeper. You know, I think back to some of the applications I created, oh man, even way back in the 90s. And functionally, if I've got a Windows environment that will run my applications, which for some things I do, and for others, you know, as the frameworks age out, not so much. But functionally, these things still work. The functions don't change. It's not like, you know, I use a text box today and 6 months from now, text box is no longer our thing. But security is not like that, because we've got researchers, we've got scientists, we've got criminals, we've got a lot of motivated people always trying to poke holes in our apps. So whereas functionality could persist years and decades, security has a finite lifetime. And really, the only good way to sleep at night with applications is to have in place, you know, regular reviews and updates to make sure that you're still using the latest and greatest.
If I were to put you on the spot, and we already mentioned that sometimes security just ages out and mm-hmm. you just have to be vigilant. But if I could put you on the spot, could you name maybe the one encryption-related mistake that is just not acceptable for a developer of any experience level?
The one you will always hear whenever these things get brought up is rolling your own encryption or trying to create your own algorithms. And the reason for that is, let's face it, encryption's hard, right? If there's, of the billions of people on the planet, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people who can actually roll their own encryption algorithm. And even then, they have long time bake-offs trying to figure out what's the right one. So the answer you always hear when you are asked that is rolling your own encryption. But I think, going back to what we were just talking about, most people get that by now. Most people get, yeah, all right, I won't roll my own encryption. The broader answer, the number one thing that I see most frequently being made these days is not investigating leveraging the frameworks and tools within our platforms. So you mentioned the Ascrypt library. I mentioned Secure String a little bit ago, right? So much of what we need in encryption is available to us, but in our rush to meet functional requirements, we oftentimes don't have time to investigate those libraries or invest in figuring out what's the right approach, the right encryption. The number one encryption-related mistake, I would say these days, is not making an encryption a requirement on par with functional requirements, not baking that security feature into the SDLC.
Well, I think the Ascrypt library that I used was relatively easy. It didn't take me a lot of time. Maybe I did it wrong. That's always a possibility. but I'm going to put links in the show notes to Ascrypt and Secure String. You can check those out at crosscuttingconcerns.com. I want to ask you another question here, kind of related to encryption. As users, we have things like LastPass and 1Password to manage our passwords. At least I hope my listeners are using a tool like that. When it comes to encryption on the server side and TLS and things like that, you still have things that are like passwords. You know, they're keys or secrets, things like that. Is there a tool to manage those? Because it seems like if those are exposed, then the best encryption is not really going to help you.
There absolutely is. One other thing, though, about passwords, check it out, and you should put this in the show notes. It's very cool. Token Ring, like T-O-K-E-N. It's a biometric password safe, and it's a ring. It's the coolest thing ever. I just found that out this past weekend. Very slick.
It's a literal ring for your finger?
It's a literal ring for your finger that does biometrics and releases your passwords. Very snazzy. In respect to securing the individual keys and whatnot, it depends on where you're building your app and how you're building it. But in the cloud, let's take Azure, for example, since we're talking about .NET. Azure has a key store, and you can use the Azure API to access that key and offload that key management. Amazon has something similar, and there are third-party vendors who will also offer key management services, either through a hardware appliance or through a virtual software machine. Again, I'm thinking like Gemalto or Voltage, which will do the key management for you, and then you're just making calls to its APIs.
Could you recommend any resources to learn more about encryption?
Sure, absolutely. Bruce Schneier, or Schneier on Security, is a great one. You know, Bruce has been involved in cryptography. He literally wrote the book on encryption. He's just got a wealth of information. You know, I mentioned a couple of vendors here. No one likes to go down the vendor path, but there is some great information on PKWare's blog, Voltage's blog, and Gemalto's blog. And then again, start with your platform of choice. If you're a Java developer, go there. If you're a Microsoft developer, go to MSDN and read some of the tech notes that are put together by your individual frameworks.
And before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to mention or promote?
You mentioned I do videos, so you know, feel free to hit my website up at www.jwgorlick.com, and you will see I do a daily video series as well as post different conference talks. There is one in my conference talk up there now that talks about the strategy of designing an encryption program. So you can check that out. And then, you know, shout out to my employer, CBI, which is at cbisecure.com.
My guest today has been Wolfgang Gorlick. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's been fun.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Trekkers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.